Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. A simple white cane can be a remarkable gift in some parts of the world. This week, we'll be talking about a project that distributes white canes to underserved people around the world.
We'll speak with Beverly Crook, who started and organizes the Global Cane Outreach Program, about her travels delivering these canes to people in underserved rural areas, about the program and how it's grown and some of its successes. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Beverly Crook.
I feel like the tip that I would like to share is, I feel that the more that we can give as human beings, the happier we are and the more blessed we are.
And we'll be hearing more about an organization that does exactly that and tries to spread their gifts around the world.
Let's start by meeting Beverly.
So Beverly, you've been on our show before, but for people who may not remember, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, my name is Beverly Crook, and I am a totally blind person and a Christian woman. And my main interest in my life today is a mission called Global Cane Outreach. And I'm in my 60s and I'm married and I have 2 children and 4 grandchildren and active in my community.
As Pete mentioned, we had Beverly on Eyes on Success previously. That was in episode 1303. And in that episode, she described how she got Global Cane Outreach started. So if you want the early story, you should go back and listen to that episode.
So you mentioned that you were blind, but I take it you have not been blind your entire life. Can you tell us about when you became blind and what the state of your vision now is?
I started with the eye problem when I was about 14, but I would get these flare-ups about every 3 months, which would distort the vision and last for about a week. And then it would clear up and I'd be able to see good again. Well, through the years, I had several of those that eventually started destroying the retinas. And so very, very, very slowly, I started losing my vision. And I stopped driving in 1968. So I drove from 16 to 21. I almost hit somebody. So I didn't hit them, but I didn't see them. So that was enough for me to stop. And then I went on to have my children. And eventually, it just kept destroying the retinas that I have no vision now. Just a teeny itty bitty light perception once in a while. And that's about it.
And you're using an iPhone right now to use Skype to talk with us. So I take it you use a range of assistive devices. What do you use for navigation?
I use the iPhone. And I have a guide dog, and I'm a cane user, and I have an iPad, and I have a PC, and I also am now just with the Mac computer. I'm learning that. I have a MacBook Air. So I love technology. I love it that it's mainstreaming us blind people into society so much, and that we just are able to do practically anything with these computers. So it's just really exciting and awesome for me.
It is amazing. It makes a big difference for the visually impaired community these days.
Yes.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is an update on the work Global Cane Outreach has done since we aired a prior episode about it almost 4 years ago.
Last time we talked to you about the Global Cane Outreach Project, and people may not remember what that is. Can you tell people exactly what the mission of that project is?
Yes, what we do is we go to third world countries. And we go to South Africa, which is not a third world country, but we go to the Zulu nations, where I would call that a third world part. What we do is we go places in other countries where blind people don't get anything. And they get, I mean, they're just a nuisance to people because they're barely surviving as it is. And they don't have cane training and they don't get canes and they don't get anything from their government. And so we find these people, as many as we can, and we provide canes and quick mobility. And we also have talking Bibles that we give if they want them. And whatever country we're in, that's the language that we give.
When you distribute the Bibles, is that in Braille or some kind of audio format?
It's audio, and it's Old and New Testament, and it's solar paneled. So you just turn it over and it charges it back up. So you don't have to worry about, you know, having electricity or batteries or any of that stuff. It's really awesome.
Oh, that's great. So you give the whole reading device and everything, not just the electronic copy.
That's right. And also only if they want it. Nothing is, you know, here's a cane for you and you don't have to take this Bible. And you don't have to listen to me talk about it either.
Yeah.
You can still have the cane and we still will bless you. So.
So the last time we talked to you was early 2013, and I believe that Global Cane Outreach was fairly new at that time. Can you describe how it got started?
I had made a trip to Ethiopia with the request of wanting to go on a mission trip by a church secretary I was talking to. And then by the next day, I was talking to a missionary who was going to Ethiopia, and the people in Ethiopia were saying, what can you do for the blind? And so there I was. And so I raised enough money to buy 50 canes, and off I went and gave away every single cane. And I came home a couple years later with my own church. At the time, I went to South Africa, and on the second trip there, I thought, I can't do this all myself. You know, one person isn't going to make that big of a difference. And so I started with an organization called, well, at first it started with Global Cane Outreach for the Blind. And then a couple of years after that, I had a couple of people that came on board with me, that is our board. And we became nonprofit, and now we have canes and Bibles in 9 different countries.
Wow.
So do you still go overseas personally to distribute the canes, or are you just overseeing the project?
No. This year I went to Bolivia and Peru, and that was in the same trip. It was a 2-week trip, so a week in Peru and a week in Bolivia. And then 2 of the other board members went to South Africa, and then my husband went to Mexico and to Guatemala to give out canes and such.
Wow.
Oh, you guys have been quite busy.
Yes, I've gone to South Africa 6 times personally, and I've been to Peru 2 and Bolivia 1.
Does your organization still purchase all of the canes? I thought last time you mentioned that you received many of them as donations.
Now we're purchasing them, and we are giving brand new canes. We have been doing business with a company overseas where we've gotten them as a good deal, and we've done a couple of fundraisers, so we've been able to raise enough, you know, not enough, but some money to be able to purchase these canes and have them on hand. Now, we can't get them in the various sizes, so what we do is we have small pipe cutters, and so we just, it takes a little bit longer, but that's okay, but we just cut them to size, you know, right then and there when we've got the person in front of us.
So I'm curious, you said you buy the canes, you get them delivered, but you're in California and you're giving these canes to people in Africa and South America and wherever. Do you have them delivered to California, then you put them on an airplane with you, or you have them delivered to the place you're going, or what? I mean, 50 canes is big.
We have them delivered here to us. We buy fold-up canes so that we can take them in our suitcases and such. And then we take as many canes as we can. And when we went to Peru and Bolivia, we gave away 99 canes.
Wow.
We could have given away more, but we ran out of canes. Yeah, we didn't even quite have enough.
But that's not just your personal luggage. I mean, you've got a group that goes and you put some in each person's luggage.
That's right. That's right. Like with some airlines, you can have two pieces of luggage when you're going overseas. And so one has our clothing and then the other we can fill with canes.
Wouldn't it be easier to obtain the canes in the area where you're distributing them?
In Bolivia, we met this blind man who actually makes canes. And so what we're going to do in that case is we're actually going to contract with him and send him money to make canes for the people that are blind. And that way it helps him in a business aspect as the blind person, plus helps the people that are blind get the canes. So I think that's a really exciting new event that happened to Global Cane this year too.
Oh, that's a great idea to be able to help the community in several different ways at once.
Yes, exactly.
So give us an idea of how this system works. You collect a bunch of canes before the trip. I guess you get some volunteers who decide where they want to go. What all happens once you start that process?
Actually, I believe it's God-led. In South Africa, there's a trip that's made there every single year, and we have connections there now that we've established with a couple of blind schools. This year, they're requesting that we actually work with their mobility instructors, teaching them better techniques and such. And we have a couple of children that we send support to, because when you're blind in South Africa and when you don't know who your parents are, there is no birth certificate, so the government will not give you any kind of support. So we have adopted two children in this, and is that we send support for them, and then we take canes to these schools every year.
So what happens when you get there? You told us some interesting stories last time when you interacted with some of the people.
Our first person I'm sure that I talked about last time was the very first person that I met the first time I went to South Africa. He was a person who just sat in a hut, as most of them do. He couldn't even go to the outhouse by himself. He took to the cane immediately, was very excited about it, had an email sent to me later on saying that now he could go to the outhouse by himself and walk around. Well, he has progressed to the place to where now he lives by himself. We make sure that we visit him every year, keep him in canes, keep him in the newest Bible that we have. He does his own laundry, he does his own cooking, and I know I'm totally blind, but the sighted people will tell you this too. His house, his hut, is the cleanest of any of the huts we've ever been in. So he's just completely blossomed over a cane and a Bible, and so that's just amazing.
You know, you told us that story 3.5 years ago, and that story of your meeting this man and giving him his first cane has stuck with us the whole time. And we're forever repeating that story to other people because, you know, a white cane may seem so simple and they're really inexpensive and the blind people in the Western world take it for granted. But the way you changed his life was really amazing with that simple gift and a little instruction on how to use it. And it's so heartwarming to hear your update on how much better he's doing still now that he's gotten more used to it. So thank you.
Yes, it is. It brings tears to my eyes every time, and it just is incredible.
Are there other examples of how your efforts work out that you'd like to share with our listeners?
There's lots of other people that we have given canes to and taught, and lots of success stories, but these two stand out the biggest in my mind. And the other one was, he was just 6 years old. It was 2 or 3 years ago, and I was on a mission. We were going hut to hut, and we came across this little boy who was totally blind, is totally blind, in this hut, who 16 people were living there. And the grandmother was on her deathbed, and she was the matriarch and was, as a matter of fact, died before we left the country. And this little boy was very abused. There was very, very little food in the house, and his siblings and cousins and such would steal the food off of his plate. And, you know, it was just a terrible scene. And so we had a Zulu woman help us. And this is the little one that we got into the school in Pietermaritzburg. And he is still there. And now he's, you know, he has a cane. I actually even took him a Braille machine that was donated a couple of years ago when I was there. And I've taken to the school, I've taken balls that have the little bells in them. So because all these little children are blind, and the school just doesn't have things, you know, they live there, but they just don't, they don't have the things to help them out, to give them. So anyways, we have also given some of that stuff to some of the schools, and we will continue to help him as long as we exist, or until he turns 18 or doesn't go to, I don't know, whatever the outcome of that one is. But those are a couple of the very big success stories that Global Cane Outreach carries, and lots of lives being changed.
That's fantastic.
We take a lot for granted in the U.S. and other developed countries. And, you know, we have decent transportation, roads, sidewalks, and it's really difficult for people to understand some of the conditions to which you're bringing these canes and other devices. It must be very different over there.
It's very different over there in every country we've gone to. And in South Africa, I would say in Togazani's case, where his little hut is, he has to walk up through the bush, through the high grass and such, to a barbed wire fence. He goes underneath that barbed wire fence. He finds it with his cane onto the dirt road. He goes down the dirt road. Things what he does after that is he visits his neighbors. He also goes down this road to where there's what they call a bus. And then he says it's a little challenging trying to find his house coming back, but he does. And it's just amazing. In Peru, where Cajamarca is where we've been mostly. And oh my gosh, their sidewalks are just, there are big gaps in it. There's little bitty steps. There's huge steps. There's having to, from the street to the curb, having to jump over a water trough. The way I personally did it is the sighted person that was with me, is I put my cane on the other side and I felt how far away it was and just jumped. So, I mean, it's crazy what they have to do, but giving these canes, by golly, they do it. And what we do is we go through this training and show them how, but then we watch them do it for a while and make sure that they've got it. And, you know, they, like in the States here, we as blind people get 3 months and on with our mobility, and they from us get, you know, about an hour or two. So it's very different, but it's changing their lives.
So it must be particularly nice these days that you seem to be integrated with the local schools and government, and not just doing this on your own, trying to find the blind people in the middle of nowhere. That must be working out very well for you.
Well, actually, in Guatemala, my husband has made some contacts there where they've been working with schools and such, and places where all disabilities are there, but also blind too. And, you know, people get really excited about this in their countries because there's somebody that's willing to help their blind people. We were in Cajamarca this year. The government of the city had us come to this special event that they had for us, and had the media there and such, and the newspaper and television, and was talking about how Cajamarca is the first city that we've gone to in Peru, and how they're so excited that we've come to their city, and that they can't afford to buy the canes, but they can provide the transportations for the canes and the trainers to get out to the people in the country to get canes further out, and in which they have, because every place we go to, we also train the trainers that live there, the local missionaries or the people that are sighted that live there all the time, and that's their town. So we train people there, and then that way we can just send canes to them after that.
So, you know, we have listeners all over the world. And for anyone who isn't familiar with this American expression, we often say, if you give a person a fish, they'll eat for a day. And if you teach the person how to catch fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. And
right.
Basically, it sounds like what you're doing is taking that model many steps further. You're not only giving the cane to a blind person, but you're teaching the blind person how to use it. And then teaching trainers who can then train additional blind people and advance the training of the ones you've started the training for, and then supporting the person who's making additional canes. And this whole thing, it's like you're building in capability for the future way beyond what you're able to do in a week-long visit. It's great.
Yes, because, you know, it's very dangerous, to, as you well know for yourself, Peter, it would be very dangerous to give a cane to a blind person and not teach them how to use it.
That wouldn't work.
No, it would not work. They have to be able to keep themselves safe with it. And so we try our best to make sure that they really are keeping themselves covered.
You know, white canes may not be all that expensive, but when you're buying 100 at a time, it can add up. And besides, you're paying airfare to some pretty distant locations. Where does the funding come from?
We're nonprofit, and so we get, you know, a tax deduction. People get a tax deduction if they give money to us to buy the canes and the Bibles, and so that's how we survive. The money has never been used for anything else but mailings of our newsletter, you know, the kind of office type of stuff, and canes and Bibles. All of the transportation so far for the missionaries part of it has been on our own, although we are looking into maybe getting a grant or some other kind of large funding that we could have separate to be able to help the missionaries go themselves, because it gets quite expensive.
I'll bet. And how many canes do you figure you've given out approximately over the years?
Oh my gosh. Boy, that's a hard one to estimate. I'd say at least 500, probably more.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Wow. That helps a lot of people then.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yes, it really does. And like we've all three said, you know, people in this country, we get everything we want as blind people, or need, not want, but need. And sometimes if we're hooked up with some government agencies, we get what we want too. And in other countries, they just don't get that. And, you know, even in Bolivia, and going to this one blind school that we went to, you know, the people have to pay for their canes. And they have 600 blind people in their area. And they have a very few blind people at their school, because you have to pay for everything at the school, and the people don't have the money. Blind people, the way that they support themselves, most of them, is by playing instruments and singing along the streets at night. And then they have cans that people throw money in.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know, it's great seeing how much your organization has grown and how many people you've been able to help.
I know. It's just, it's really exciting, really exciting. Oh, whenever I talk about it or, you know, think about it, I just can't get the smile off my face. It's really, I mean, you know, when you're out there in the field, you get some tears too, but to help people like this is just amazing. It's just awesome.
Yeah. And it's always nice to see directly what kind of a difference you can make.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now for this week's final item, how you can learn more about Global Cane Outreach and how you can get involved in a variety of ways.
So if people want to participate in this program and or donate a cane or money, where would you send them?
The website is globalcaneoutreach.org. And all information is on that website. You can pay with PayPal. You can pay directly. There's stories on the website. There's pictures on the website of the people that we've helped in the various countries. There's all kinds of information there. There's email addresses there. And Facebook, too. We're on Facebook also.
So if people want to send you an email note, what's your email address?
It's info@globalcaneoutreach.org.
And what phone number would people use if they're more comfortable with that?
I will give them my phone number. It's 831-588-8776.
So if people want to actually participate in one of these trips and go and see this personally and deliver the canes personally, is that possible or does that just happen from your location?
No, it's absolutely possible. Like I said, right now we're all paying for our own trips and we do give out the gospel and we do give the Bibles in their language. So as long as somebody is feeling comfortable with that aspect of it, then yes, absolutely, you can go.
And presumably you take sighted and blind volunteers because you pair up together.
That's right. And this last time to Peru and Bolivia is actually the only other time where a blind person has gone. So there was two of us and two sighted people. So it worked out great. But yes, we need both. And the sighted people of, you know, we as the blind people teach them the cane mobility, and then we're right there to answer any questions and to listen as they train. But it takes the sighted person to, you know, to train and make sure that they're doing it right.
Well, I'm glad we had the opportunity to talk to you again and spread the word about this great project that is bringing this kind of support to those that don't have it around the world. Great job.
I'm so excited that you asked me to come on again, and I just feel like this is a wonderful thing to do, to bless other people with what we have and they don't. So anybody that wants to join me in this endeavor, let's talk, because that would be awesome to watch it grow.
Oh, that'd be great. And we would like to thank Lori Motis, who runs the Blind Post, for initially alerting us to this great work that Beverly Crook has been doing, and then to suggest after a few years that it might be time for an update. And they're just doing such great work, and we wish them well in their efforts.
So as usual, if you missed any of the contact information or links, just go to our show notes where you can find all of that at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1641. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the recently announced Braille Note Touch tablet. The Braille Note Touch combines an Android-based tablet with a Braille display and detachable Braille keyboard to form a powerful note taker and then some. We'll speak with Greg Stilson, the Blindness Products Manager from Humanware, about this new device and how it has been enhanced with the KeySoft experience. And we'll also get to hear some demonstrations of the device in action. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.